Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me on today's program is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And the one, the only, John Ramos.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I want to give a shout out to our listeners this morning. We have so much to cover. This is the week, the 4th of July. The Declaration of Independence, people signed at the risk of losing their lives. Are we willing to lose our comfort to select the right leadership for our country in the times that try men's souls? Give a shout out this morning to New York. New York's in the house. A shout out to Texas this morning. Give a shout out to you, Sarah. I hear you're rocking the hospital. Your ministry's going forth. Amazing what God is doing through you and your faithfulness to Him. Give a shout out this morning to Denver. On the frontiers of advancing the kingdom of God. Congratulations, Frontier Airlines. Thank you. The favor of the Lord. We give a shout out to all of those in Escambia County on the Gulf Coast standing up for righteousness. How awesome is that? Thank you for taking a stand. We'll say good morning to Mr. and Mrs. Blake Barr. Good morning, good morning. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Paul Ramos.
Good morning.
Well, I want to tell you this morning, man, what a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I got a chance to be a part of my genealogy, if you would, the next generation in my family. I had a wonderful opportunity in the beautiful white sands of the Emerald Coast to sit there and watch the most beautiful woman in the world, my daughter. Walk through the sands in a beautiful white dress with a very handsome, loyal, kind-hearted fiance and bring them together in holy matrimony as they acknowledged God and asked God's blessing upon their marriage, and we prayed for them. I married my daughter on the Gulf of Mexico. Is that not awesome?
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
That is awesome.
It made me think of Teresa. Oh, my goodness. You know what I'm saying? You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
She was like an angel. You do remember? It was a very important statement to make.
She may be listening.
That's John's wife for all of our listeners. My goodness. She was like an angel walking around out there. You know, I thought nothing could ever match the day that Teresa and John were married. You know, John looked like a man in a suit. But Teresa was just like an angel. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
She just kind of just floated around. But then I saw Amber. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
She was beautiful, was she not? I mean, mm-hmm. It's just like,
it's glowing.
Like her hair just blowing in the wind. Oh, wow, man. I mean, she's just beautiful, beautiful young lady, and just so proud of her. And we love Blake, and now we have a new son-in-law and a wonderful family. We have Hugh and Laura Barr, and he's part of, it's Blake's parents, and his brother Brian and sister mm-hmm. Beth, and just the family grew since we last talked on the radio.
The family's growing, huh?
Isn't that amazing? But he's
little Amber, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's just so cool to see somebody who really loves your daughter. You know what I'm saying? That will stand up for what's right. And we just love him, and we're excited for them. And they both did well. You know what I'm saying? And we're just proud of them. We have a shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Barr.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Mr. and Mrs.
Barr.
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 And Barr. And Barr.
Barr. Barr.
We love you, Amber.
Yes, we do. Yes, my goodness. We do. My goodness. But she was beautiful. I meant, was she? I'm not. Listen, Pat was there. I'm not. You know, you have those fathers that go like, "That's the most beautiful child I ever seen." Everybody's going,
"Send us a picture." We weren't on the sandy seashore of the Emerald Coast, you know.
Dude, I went on my Facebook, you know, and I'm like, "Oh my goodness, I'm on Facebook." Like somebody already, because we had so many people out there, they've already started uploading pictures and stuff. And you know, we were real casual about how we dressed. They didn't, you know, but we did. And it was just so cool. It was so cool. So you don't have to worry about it. If you can't find a picture, just give it a couple days or a couple hours or a couple minutes and just go look at your Facebook.
Yeah, it'll turn up.
You know, we're all barefoot in the sand. And oh man, you've got to meet Blake's dad. You know, he has a place of solitude. I can't think of the word. Serenity. His backyard's like Serenity. Mm. First of all, he buried the pool, which brings serenity. You don't have to worry about the pool no more. But he's got like all these fruit trees, apple trees, fig trees. I meant bird feeders, different bird feeders. He has the fig trees. That's the one, you know what I'm saying? He's got the water fountains with goldfish in it, like the ones you see on Discovery Channel. That ours would actually probably have mold across the top of the fish floating in the top. But he was explaining to me. He just sits back here and then just watches the birds, and that is so biblical when you think about it, because Jesus tells us, look at the birds, right? Doesn't he? He says, look at the birds over and over again. He mentions about the birds and that, you know, they don't do anything, but yet God takes care of them. Mm-hmm. You know, and consider not one of them falls from the sky
without outside of his will.
So what happened to that bird? It was his time.
God ruled it.
Yeah. And so, you know, and he was explaining to me this one little bird that has bald on top of his head. No pun, John. Okay. And we're talking about birds here, you know, birds. And so he was watching this, like, why was it bald like that on top of its head? You know, it's a question a lot of us ask ourselves, what's happening to my hair? And so he looked at the beak, and the beak of the bird was kind of, the top beak was turned to the left, and the bottom beak was turned to the right. And it was kind of like, you know, just kind of off kilter. It couldn't, and you got to eat to be able to get bird seed. You got to be, what? Anyway, you got to be able. This is serious. I was so impressed. Did you know that cardinals mate for life?
The what?
The cardinals. Birds. It's not baseball. They mate for life. They're more monogamous than... Anyway, so they... And so he was watching it, and that over time, this bird learned to be able to scoop. It would turn its head sideways in the bird feeder and scoop seed from the bottom with its bottom... part of his beak, whatever you call that bottom part, and that's how he would take. So his top head would rub against the bird feeder, which we could say this, that if he wouldn't have had the bird feeder, maybe that bird would not live.
Oh wow,
true.
So if I don't have hair, give me a break. Anyway, so then, but you know, they wait for life, right? And so it has a partner, and it was trying to eat with a bent beak, you know, and it dropped a piece of its food, and its mate went down there. Get this.
Get out.
I'm telling you. Its mate went down there, picked it up, chewed on it to soften it up, and then actually gave it to the one who had the bent beak.
Wow.
Get out. Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
It's just like, how beautiful is that?
Wow.
You know, you can learn so much. You know, Romans tells us that you can look at what God's created and understand him. That if we do that, then we're without excuse. If we just look again, step outside your digital world and look at God's creation, not a virtual image of God's creation, but just go out there and like touch a bark on a tree, you know, go skin your knee, you know, do something, you know. Well, we have to watch football now. We can't play it anymore because then we see a reality of a hospital and a doctor and some pain meds. Anyway, so, but it was so beautiful. I'm listening to him thinking, like, that is so, so cool to know that even the birds of the air, God has order to the birds of the air, you know, and that's what we need to do. You know, we need to be there for each other, you know, and then if my beak is bent, help me out, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It was beautiful. Even though there was difficulty there and things were not right in the context of that, you know, how beautiful is it when we help those in need, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
That's really awesome.
I'm always learning, man. I'm like one big lesson plan, all right?
Creation speaks, huh?
What?
Creation speaks, huh?
It speaks loud. It does a song like that as well. You know, so many things are going on, you know, but I want to say we didn't get a chance to do this, and it's so important. We talked about last week. Used to be a program for all those young whippersnappers out there that that don't know about it. It was called Happy Days.
Yeah.
Then on Happy Days, there was this particular cool guy. He was a cool guy, and he had, yeah, I know, that word actually did exist.
Yeah, and that's something.
Yeah, and so, and he never said he was wrong. He never said that it was just real difficult for him to do it. He would just kind of get around the bush. Obviously, we don't have that issue. It's just this particular character, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And so, you know, the church, we're going to have to stand up at some point in our lives. If we still want more life, you know, as the church, and we're gonna have to say, I know, but I was wrong. So we have it right here on the VFN TV blog. You got to hear this. We're gonna play. He's talking to one of his guys in the show with him, and Pat would probably know
Ralph Mouth.
Ralph Mouth. See, I told you he would know.
Does he have the jacket? Does he still have his jacket?
Oh, he's in a leather jacket. You know, he's being Mr. Cool, leaning against his hot rod right here. And he's sad that his partner's about to go into the military. And so he's talking to him here. You got to hear this. I mean, this is how simple it is it not? You know, he says, if my people who are called by my name, who are wrong, would just say that they're right. I'm going to say that he's right.
Right.
And say that we're wrong. Right? That's it.
That's it.
But it comes out like this. I was... Here you go. Hold on a second. Listen to it.
I mean, it's not important... I'd hang in the barracks and cheer up the guys.
Mal, you're not gonna hang these up at any barracks because you're not gonna join the Marines. Just take all this stuff home, okay?
But Fonzie, not join? I'm all packed. You told me it was the right thing to do.
Look, I know what I told you to do, but when I told you to do that, I was reason. Ralph, I was reason. I was not exactly right.
What do you mean not right?
I mean, not right.
I don't get you. You mean you were wrong?
Yeah, that's right, Malfa. I was what you just said I was.
Wrong? The Fonz wrong?
Malf, look. There is a first time for everything, huh?
I don't understand, Fonz. How could you be wrong about a thing like that?
Look, I don't understand it myself, Ralph. I was under a lot of pressure. I was under a lot of cars, too. Two of them were Edsels. Maybe the pressure was getting to me. I don't know.
No, Fonzie. You might have been under a lot of cars, but you weren't wrong. You were right. Everything you said about me was true. I'm useless around here. I gotta join. Everybody hates me. I'll see you.
Mouth! I didn't tell you why I was,
wrong?
I didn't tell you why you shouldn't join the Marines.
Why shouldn't I go, Fonz? I mean, tell me.
Because if you join the Marines, I'm going to miss you.
Oh.
You miss me? But Fonz, you're always telling me to get lost and to sit on it. You even told me I was useless.
Ralphie, don't you know when I'm joshing?
Can you interpret that?
I think, yeah. He was giving him a very hard time, assuming they would have a relationship forever. He's about to lose it, and he's like, I was wrong. I mean, it's just, think about it. Is that not all God asked for us?
That's it.
You know? And it's just, it's. I don't know. What do you think that is? What do you think? Why was it so hard for Fonzie?
Pride.
That's exactly what he couldn't say the simple thing. You know, if you're walking with God, you're going to say it quite often. You know, God's going to bring it to our attention, different things, and he's going to not. And sometimes it's not even the fact that you're doing what you're doing is wrong, but God took a turn somewhere, and you just liked what you were doing, so you just kept on doing it instead of following God. Yeah, he took a left and you went straight, or he took a right and you went, you know, vice versa. And so, you know, it's following God. So sometimes you got to say, you know what? This was good for a season. But God says there's a new thing happening. You know what I'm saying? And we can stand and say, you know what? This is how this thing began years ago. And this is how the next season will begin if we're willing to step up and follow it. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's totally awesome. Well, this is the 4th of July weekend. The 4th of July week, not weekend, because it's in the middle of the week. And we are celebrating, you know, our Declaration of Independence.
That's awesome. You know, I was just in Philadelphia not long ago, and I actually had a chance to see the house that Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. Now, you got to see this. You're in downtown Philadelphia, okay?
Get out of Dodge.
There's buildings everywhere. There's people walking all over the place. And right on the corner, you would have passed it up, is this little old house in between a couple of buildings. Actually, one building's on a corner. And there it was. I'm like, look, Elijah, look. This is very important. This is historic. He's like, where, Dad? I'm like, right here. Right. The Declaration of Independence was actually written by Thomas Jefferson.
And
pretty cool.
Isn't it amazing, though? I mean, we so look at history by our present day. We try to we try to define where we were by where we are. But the truth is, we can only define where we are by where we've been. You know, you got to find out our history. And so we end up changing our history, trying to adjust it to our present day. And that's what they're trying to do in America, right? Many people are trying to say, ah, oh, that's all outdated. And even though it gave them the right to be able to say it's outdated, you know, that, you know, it needs to be changed, even though it gave them the right to stand in leadership, you know, to say it could be changed. You know, it is it's the very thing that the U.S. Constitution, Declaration of Independence, they just said, listen, it's just time. We just believe it's self-evident that all men are created equal. You know what I'm saying? And that, you know, King, you know, you're not God. The church shouldn't have been merged together in the first place with the government. You know, it's not about, it's not a separation of church and state so that the state will stay, the church will stay out of the state. It's separation of church and state so the state will stay out of the church. Because this is the problem. Listen to this. This is the problem. The problem is we've got to quit defining the church by what we've created it to be in our own eyes and men, because the church is people. But as long as if you define, if you let somebody define you and define the church different than what God said, then all of a sudden now you're like a club, a Rotary Club or something. Nothing is Rotary Clubs, but the fact is that, you know, they see you as an institution. They see you as a building. They see you as a corporation. And they see you in the all together in this organization versus the individual who is a believer. So if we are the church, if believers are the body of Christ, To say a government that's by the people and for the people, to say the separation of the church from the state is to separate the people from the state. Hence, you cannot separate the people from the state if we live by the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. But you can separate the state from the church, that they cannot make any laws concerning the church. It's the First Amendment rights. You know, when I was Mary and Blake and Amber this on the beach out there this weekend, that, you know, we used to say, you know, by the power, you know, we brought in the government. It's like, what are we doing? Right. Oh, my goodness. Right. The truth is, you know, because of God, because of the call of God on my life, because of the church and because what God says about marriage, and because the government recognizes that with the U.S. Constitution by the First Amendment, I hereby have authority under God to marry you. It has nothing to do with the state. The state does not give you authority to marry somebody. If you're at the church, it's you being the church. It's what you do. And you marry and you counsel and you walk with and you disciple and you encourage the church, which are people. You don't encourage a building. Well, that's nice shutters today. I really like your shutters. Did you ever
like
think about
steeple?
That's pretty nice. Nothing against steeple. I got a good friend that's a steeple. And I'm not, you think about it. When you talk about the church, so many people identify with buildings that they can get offended by it. And, you know, like Steve Hill said, you know, we talked on Friday, you know, not to be offended. We're for the church wherever it gathers, whatever it is in, whatever it is not in, because the people are the church.
That's right.
You know, the outside does not make the inside. It's what's on the inside of that gathering that actually makes the church. And so you can paint a big building and put people in it that are not the church, and it's not the church. But you can actually put... you can be in an auditorium, for example, that all kinds of things happen in the auditorium. And but when the church comes and gathers together, what's inside of that building, the auditorium, is the church. The auditorium didn't become the church. What we're talking about when we say the church, we're talking about the people gathered in there. That's why we don't have to worry about where we go as the church, because we're the church wherever we go.
Mm-hmm. How can you go, you know, to what you are?
How can you go to what you are? All you can truly do is be. So, well, you know, we joke around about that, but the thing is that, you know, you're the church. But the thing about that, when you know you're the church, it's like, that means the word of God applies to me. It applies to me. And that is, it drives you to the cross. It literally brings you to the reality of our desperate need for a savior.
Right.
You know, but when it's not you and it's that building, you can say all kinds of things, or you think it's a board of directors, or you think it's somebody's good idea, or you're thinking it's been something that's passed down for generations versus somebody who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I mean, you can be in a three-piece suit in a tower and in New York and be the church, part of the church, or you can be, you know, plowing fields in your little smaller garden in China with wearing one of your two sets of clothes, and you can be the church. They're equal. As a matter of fact, the one who's plowing the field may be of higher esteem in the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. in the eyes of God, right?
Yeah.
And so we can't define ourselves in America. We got to redefine or go back and go for the original tent of who we are as the church. If we hang on to redefining ourselves outside what God says that we are, you know, it's gonna crumble. It's gonna. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I wasn't gonna share this, you know, till tomorrow. But I think I want to share it now because I remember the movie Patriot. Do you remember the movie Patriot?
Oh yeah.
Was that with Mel Gibson, Pat?
Yeah, it sure was.
Okay.
Yeah, that was with Mel Gibson, and that in that movie, you know, and I always encourage everybody that when you're watching a movie as a believer, you know, you can get something as simple as what's called clear play. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool because when you put a DVD into it or whatever they're called, you know, Blu-rays or whatever, it just removes things that you don't want to see or you don't want to hear. So I can't vouch for what's all there in the context of that. But what, you know, in that moment, there's a moment in there. Mm-hmm. We're talking about separation of church and state. In that moment, remember that we signed our Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we did that, we said that this is just not right. Mm-hmm. That you can't, you know, your form of government and mixing the church together and all of that is just not right.
Right.
And because if you leave the church, the Church of England, they considered it treason. It was treason because they merged the two.
Right.
They merged the two. And I got so many things to share with you. You got to stay tuned to VFN Radio. We're going to talk to you about, you know, they're digitizing every member of India right now. 1.2 billion members, wow. Population, and everybody, fingerprints, digital print, online prints. So listen, we are getting there right now, and we got to wake up. America, listen, we have a unique thing that God gave us. You know, and this panicking and bringing in things like the Patriot Act and different things that are surrendering all the things to one big, huge database. You know, it's gonna challenge what we're doing. But anyway, so they considered it was treason because so the king or the queen or the king was over the church.
Right.
So mm-hmm. for you to come to America, you know, and be a part of the colonies and all that was going on, and for you to preach the gospel as it's written in the Word of God, they considered you as part of the problem.
Mm. Wow.
They considered it treason. And in the movie, there's a segment in the movie where they go off to be able to fight for America. And these are our founding fathers, you know. And when they do that, there's a small little town where Mel Gibson's son had found a wife that he was betrothed to, and he was going to come back and marry her, I guess, after mm-hmm. This battle. And so they go away. When they go away, the British, the redcoats, came in, the ones who are loyal to the king, the ones who are loyal to the mindset of church and government go together. Mm-hmm. That was their loyalty. They were not loyal to what we would call the First Amendment mm-hmm. day, separation. And they were so together that they could look at those who were not in the Church of England, even though they had a Bible in their hand, even though they preached the Word of God accurately, and they could call them somebody who was in treason. Mm-hmm. Isn't that wild?
Wow.
You know, we just don't get, that's the reason why the First Amendment's there. And so they have one of their own that joined the Redcoats, you know, that was there. And it's his own, he's coming into a town on horseback. And they're coming in, they're trying to find, you know, Mel Gibson and all the guys that are fighting for the freedom for America, some of the patriots. And then here he is, he's faced with, because the leader of that army turned to him one of their own who was riding with them. So now he's not their own. And he said, I want you to burn it down. He says, burn down their houses? And he's like, no, burn down the church. Burn down everything. And he looks at them like, oh, no. But he had to make a choice. And let me tell you, if you're riding with the Redcoats, mm-hmm. if you're hanging out with those who are not hanging out with God and the U.S. Constitution, it seems okay now. But there's going to be a day they look at you and they're going to demand loyalty from you over what God says. Anyway, so he looks at him and he gives him that look like, this is my family and my friends. These are people that I know. How can I do that? And he decides to do this. He decides to do what they said and burn down his own people. Listen to this. Listen, this is it. It's about 2 minutes.
Ready to fire the town on your order, sir.
The town? Burn the church.
There's no honor in this.
Didn't you say all those who stand against England deserve to die a traitor's death? Burn the church, Captain.
Give me the torch.
He's going towards the church right now. With a torch in his hand while the members of the church are gathered in a small country church building. Wow. He's thinking. He throws the torch. They're slamming the shutters. They're surrounding the church with flames and fire. The building. Smoke's coming under the door. They're screaming for their very lives.
The honor is found in the end, not the means. This will be forgotten.
He looks back at his friends and his family burning in the church building. The flames are pouring out from the walls. They're trying to break out, but they can't. They're screaming. They're turning to each other. They know this is it. It's engulfed in flames. He looks back, the one who truly committed treason, who threw the first torch. And they march away. While the church is burned. Not the building, the people who were in the building. And the only thing that's left is rubble, ashes. It's gone. The First Amendment is there because of that very reason. We're so far gone from how it all happened and how it came to pass that we're forgetting that they gave their lives so that we could preach the gospel and the good news, and that when righteous people are when people who love God are thriving and the nation is blessed, but when wicked rulers rule over it, the people groan, is what he says in his word. Mm. And that you understand that the church, not the buildings, but the people are an enemy of darkness. They're your very existence. You're not liked and you can't negotiate with evil.
That's right.
You know, we're going to lay down our lives and we will turn the other cheek and all those different things. But right now we have the First Amendment to the Constitution. When they signed the Declaration of Independence, they didn't know if they would live beyond the night.
Mm.
They didn't know if they would be hung in the gallows that night. But they knew it was right. They knew it was right. They knew it was right. And we're living today in this nation in the freedom that we have because men knew it was right. They had a conviction of what was right. There is no conviction hardly anywhere. It's just like a jellyfish, you know what I'm saying? You see a jellyfish, and we've seen a lot of those, you know, diving. And it's like they just go wherever the current leads them, you know? And you just don't know where they're going to go. But we're called to stand for truth. You know, for people, for, you know, as Americans, for America, for the Constitution. Listen, as I say often, the president swore to uphold the Constitution and protect it from his enemies, foreign and domestic. The Senate and the Congress swore to uphold the Constitution and protect it from enemies foreign and domestic. The judiciary branch that has done the same thing. You know, our governors, our soldiers, citizens are being sworn in. And it's like, but can we stand for what's right? Are we willing to take a stand for the issues and the values of what's right? Listen, standing up, think about it. Standing up for what your country is made up of in the regards to the Constitution, this is how we operate. How could that be wrong?
Right.
It could only be wrong if you believe it's wrong and it needs to be changed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be changed. We need to be changed.
Right.
Mm. You know, one of the issues is that, of course, is that the church is trying to do the same thing with the Word of God. I don't believe that if we keep denying the sovereignty of God and keep removing his acknowledgement and his name and his commandments and, you know, all these different areas where we're acknowledging God, if we keep removing him from those areas, we're not going to have a sovereignty of America. It's just not going to be anymore. I mean, why would God continue? Because he's the one that uplifts nations and he's the one that brings them down.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, that if a nation, you know, and you can hear about this on, I believe, the Elijah storm on VFNTV.com. And there's a whole bunch of things there for you. Just go to VFNTV.com and you can subscribe for free and begin to listen to these prophetic words. But he says if he decides he wants a nation to rise up, which he did for America, it will. But if they do evil and he sends things to us to warn us and to turn and we don't turn, mm-hmm. he removes the nation.
Wow. That's right.
There's no, I mean, look at the progression of history. I mean, nations rise and nations fall. Kingdoms come and kingdoms go, but God's kingdom's forever and ever. And so how could it be wrong for you to, first of all, know the Constitution and stand up for it? You know, we're focusing at this moment on, you know, the Declaration of Independence, the, you know, who we are as Americans, and understand as the church, you know, us that are believers, not buildings, organizations, we got to quit letting things divide us. And say, you know, we want to unite us, but we can't unite around a doctrine outside of the Word of God. It's got to be doctrine of the Word of God. Jesus has to be the center of it. The Son mm-hmm. of God has to be the center of it.
That's right.
And humility in the context of we can't do this outside of Him and what His sacrifice is on the cross, but with Him we can do it as we surrender our lives to Him and obey Him and follow Him in that area. But oh my goodness, can you believe the first half hour is gone? We're going to have this message. And we're going to be right back in just a moment. I want to encourage you, you know, if you feel like you had a call in your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God, you know, you want to be close to Him, you want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important. But then you have to learn His ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning His ways will end up following some ways that are not His ways. And eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Find Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also join us at the VFN family, you know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org. You might not know this, but we have the VFN TV blog, the VFN radio blog. It's a blog where we're talking to you all the time about all the different things, God's news behind the news, some really funny things, some things like dreams that we're having about heaven and prophetic words and conversations. You know, we want to take it to the next level. And we do that on the VFN TV blog. Mm-hmm. You know, you may be hearing something on the radio. We're talking about the blog. It's the VFN TV blog. You can get to it at VFNTV.com and click on the blog. And it's a button on the menu that tells you how to get there. And you go over there and it has all these things we've been talking about in the program. You can search for it. You can even subscribe to the blog itself. If you hover over in the right-hand corner, something pops out from the right side and it says subscribe. What that means is every time there's a new entry in the blog, it will go into your email, whatever your email account is, and it'll be sitting there on your computer. What we do also with that is quite often that whatever we were talking about on the radio that day about that particular topic in that segment, you have an MP3 link right in there. So you got the videos of what we're talking about. You have the pictures of what we're talking about. You have the resources. You know, sometimes we're talking about something, you need to find out where it was that heard from. Mm-hmm. And you also can click on the link and you begin to hear it just like an MP3. It will play right on your iPhone. You can share it with your Facebook friends. It's a great way. You know, you can hear the word of wisdom for that day, and you can take that link, copy it, and put it on your Facebook and share it with your friends, and all those people will be encouraged. There's so many things available for you on the VFN TV blog. It's the VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program blog. Just go to VFNTV.com and click on the blog. Pat, there is so much more. Yeah. You know, we have so many things that are out there for all of our listeners and all of our viewers in VFN Radio and VFN TV, but we even have more available for them. Mm-hmm. You know, and what it is you're able to, when you subscribe for free, mm-hmm. you go to VFNTV.com, right? VFNTV.com, and just click on subscribe, follow a few simple steps, mm-hmm. and you're able to log in to some information and teachings and discussions and things. It's just everything's available to you as a subscriber. It's just simple to do. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on subscribe, follow the simple steps, and you will have access to everything available that's here today and all that's even coming tomorrow. We look forward to seeing you as a subscriber. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. We were just talking Good morning. We were just talking about the Declaration of Independence and all these wonderful things. And we're going to talk all between now and the 4th of July. We're going to talk about our independence. We're going to talk about, you know, things. We're going to share with you even the history of our national anthem and the flag and all that. But first, I want to say this, that we were able to get the information together that was being revealed to us on the air Friday in regards to Simon the Sorcerer. You got to go to VFN TV blog. I mean, it was amazing how God just dropped that in our spirit. Mm-hmm. And if you go there right now, remember we were talking about, and you can go back and hear it. It's called Simon the Sorcerer, Simon question Sorcerer, mark. Right. You know, asking it, mark. Simon Cowell,
right.
Which was the founder of
American Idol,
right. All these different talent shows around the world, you know.
But Simon Cowell, Simon the Sorcerer, question mark, the X Factor.
Yeah, the X Factor, and that's the gift. They find the gifts of God. You got to hear it. You can go there at the VFN TV blog, and you can see it, and you can listen to it. But on there, we have the information, what we talked about. You know, it was just stuff that's being dropped into my spirit when I was talking. But you can see, you know, five of the young men that he found and he scouted out. He found they had talents. He puts them together as a group. Mm-hmm. But then he actually put what appears to be blood on every one of them. And we have a picture, all five of and we're actually, you know, our heart goes out to these young men, and we pray that will be given the desires of the heart in regards to the things of God, and that they would know him. And we're talking about, you know, the concept, the spirit behind that, because we're looking not at the world as much as we're saying the church is doing the same thing.
Right.
You know, and these young boys obviously were looking for somebody to recognize their talent, and they had to go to Simon the possible sorcerer to do that, because the church was intimidated by their talent or didn't know how to move the maverickness to the usefulness and meekness of that we do in fathering and mothering. Anyway, and so in there, you know, at some point, they once he got them together, maybe their third performance or something, they come out and they start singing a song that has nothing to, if you look at the lyrics of the song, has nothing to do with blood, Halloween, or anything like that. And then the video, you have a video in there, you can see the video, and it has a time code, snapshot of the time code, so you can hear one of the judges say, "This was really great, I really liked it, this was good, but I don't understand what Halloween had to do with this." And look at the face of Simon when he looks at him like, "No, you're not bringing this up."
Mm-hmm.
Because this is all his show. This is all his thing, you know?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then you can see the young boys singing the song on there as well. There's two segments of that actually happening. You can hear the judge saying what he said. Mm-hmm. And then the one that comes from, I guess, their program for the compliments of YouTube. You can see that's all on YouTube. But you see it all put together with the scripture, you know, that where the Lord tells us that we can be led astray, that the enemy will try to offer us splendor and all these different things, and we can't sell out God for stuff and things and power. And we have to understand, we have to be willing to humble ourselves, because it's not about this life. It's for the life to come. And if you're fighting for splendor and power and all this different stuff, you're missing the whole thing. Somebody preached to you another Jesus. Because he said, pick up your cross and follow him. But, you know, but then we have to be fathers. We have to be It doesn't mean that, you know, you can be a father that has children that are not listening, but how you know they're not going to listen if you don't father them first?
That's
you know,
right.
Give them a chance to have some sort of paradigm, some sort of grid.
Right.
And the Word of God says, if you train them up in the way they should go when they get old, so you don't always know how old means, you know. But in that, they were going to Simon. I mean, when you see, because we saw that video, we saw that mm-hmm. Friday after talking, you know, we had to go find out what's God saying.
Yeah, right.
And they're running to him like a dad.
Wow.
They were looking for his approval.
Mm-hmm.
We got to put one more video on there, because the one video we didn't put on there, when he went to his house, when he went to Simon's house, and they were doing, I don't know what it's called, but they were segment there. They went to the house, and they were waiting, and they were using their gift, and they were waiting to see if he would approve of their gift or not. Was he going to allow them to make it or not? And they were singing for their souls. And this was prior to the blood sacrifice looking thing there. And so is the issue them, or is really the issue the church, that we are doing the same thing? I mean, how many people take mm-hmm. a gift and build things around a gift
mm-hmm.
instead of be willing to build it around Jesus and face the reality everybody doesn't want Jesus? We want
That's
them
right.
to want Jesus, but when you preach just Jesus, you find out how many people want Jesus and how many don't.
Uh-huh. That's right.
You know, despite what he's doing.
Right.
So we've seen miracles. We've seen people fall dead.
Uh-huh.
You know, we've seen wild things happen. Hmm. We've seen things that's like, okay, you know, you see that happening. That's not good.
That's called a clue.
That's
this
called
would
a
be a good time to turn to God.
Yeah,
right,
you know.
Right about
yeah,
now.
Right.
Yeah, you know, you're sitting here going, oh my goodness. Okay, so the last 30 days, God's been having you in your dreams hanging over a fire.
Oh,
God. I'm trying to figure out what that actually means. He's warning you.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, thank God he's talking to you, because he could just
That's
not
true.
Warn you. It means he loves you.
Right.
You know, Proverbs 33 says, does not God warn a man? Does he not warn him in his deep sleep? Does not he come right beside your bed as an angel and say, listen, if you don't turn away, mm-hmm. then this is where it's going to go. That's
right.
that's a loving God going, I don't yeah. want you to perish outside of me. I mean, he loves you and has a plan for your life. But, you know, if you're having dreams of being hung over, you know, he's telling you this is your future outside. I don't know. You could tell me, John, who this is. Maybe it's Leonard Ravenhill. But he said, God will often take a man and hang him over the pits of hell and the fire of hell and then bring him back to use him. I think
wow.
it was Leonard Ravenhill. Either that or Jonathan.
Sure, but it sure sounds like Ravenhill.
because you got to know hell's real. I will never forget Kingdom Kids, his daughter, help me out, Van Lane's uh-huh. daughter, and the power of God was moving at the Brownsville Revival, and it was early on in the days, and she, God showed her hell. God showed her
uh-huh.
hell, and she began to weep, and she began to cry, and
wow.
and she began to prophesy, a young little girl at that time,
mm-hmm.
she's older now, and she was weeping because she saw people going to hell. She saw them falling into the pits of hell, the lake of fire. You know, which broadsided everybody else who's sitting there going, this is
yeah.
having a good time.
Right.
And, you know,
imagine that.
Every day, you know, 100,000 or so people are dying, and
That's right.
they're going to one or two places. I like to look at it this way. Imagine if you have an egg crate of a dozen eggs holds, it has like 12 little slots in it, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then imagine cutting a little hole out of the bottom of those egg crates. So you still have the egg crate, but if you put something in that particular one of those 12 pockets, it just falls right through.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Does that make sense? Is that kind of hard to explain?
Yeah.
Okay. And so they're not going to hold anything, right?
No.
But there is something there.
Mm-hmm.
But then
mm-hmm.
imagine underneath that, a big bin, just some big metal bin, and it only has two slots in it. It has a right slot and a left slot. And so,
yeah.
and imagine having a whole bunch of marbles, and you just drop them into this egg crate.
Mm-hmm.
That holds 12 eggs, and they're all in different denominations. I mean, they're all in different, you know, little, you know, areas of expression, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But when you come out of that, it's going to fall in one slot or the other slot.
Wow.
It's going to fall in heaven or hell.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And you're going to be. It's going to be yes to Jesus or no to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, all and these things. Go ahead.
And the truth about that, too, is that, you know, I'm sure you've heard this before, but not everybody is in a better place.
No.
You know, we need to get real and be honest with people and say, you know what? Not everyone's in a better place. There is
right.
a reality yeah. of heaven and hell. This is why we're preaching the way we're preaching and sharing the word of God and sharing the
word
of God.
Why else would we do that? My goodness, you know.
Say that again.
Why else would we even do this?
Hello. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know? With fear and trembling.
Yeah.
There are eternal consequences for our life.
Yeah.
And so not everybody's there. We can wish them there. We can hope they're there. And they may, that might help. You know, I can understand. Recently, I was helping a family ministering to them. And there was someone in an extended family that thought they were consoling the family by telling them, you know, well, at least, you know, they're in a better place. And I got what the person was trying to do. I understand that they were trying to bring some sort of relief to this family that was mourning a significant loss. But the reality is that was a lie. It was a lie in this particular case. You know, I went to a funeral one time and the preacher that was sharing said, listen, why would you be so cruel and put someone in heaven? They didn't want to do anything with God here. They rejected his word here. They rejected his truth. They didn't want to be anywhere around the Lord. Why would you be so cruel? What do you think we're going to be doing there? And we have to be real about this. God loves everyone. He didn't create a hell for us. Created for the demons and Satan. He wants us to be with him, but we have to choose. We have to choose and we have to share the truth. We can't just wish someone into heaven or just, you know, hope that they're there. You're either in or you're out. And close is not in.
Right.
Close is still out.
Yeah, that's right. Pregnant's pregnant, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You think about it that you know, some people just want to be told what to do. And believe it or not, people really feel like, you know, they want to operate under the slave mentality. Just tell me what to do.
Right. I don't want to think.
I don't want to think. You know, that's why 3% of America leads the other 97%.
Right.
Because people aren't willing to jump into the American dream and say, you know what, I can start a business. I can lead it. Because you got to be self-driven. You got to get yourself out of bed. You got to seek vision and you got to pray over your business and your employees and you got to sweat the payroll. And you got to get the clients, and you got to do all that. And somebody says, I'll just show up. Tell me what to do. Okay, be here at 9 o'clock.
I'll put in my hours.
And so then they complain about their boss. They go, oh, he's telling me what to do. Well, somebody had to, because you wouldn't tell yourself what to do. I mean, you could have told yourself, you know, this is right. And I'm telling you what, if you want to, this is a secret to promotion. This is very good. Listen up. If you want to be promoted at your business, it's not complicated. Listen to me. I got the secret. It's not like some class you take. This is the secret. Do what your boss asks you to do. I know. Really? That's something. And do it with all of your heart.
That's right.
And when you're finished doing what he or she asks you to do with a great attitude, with a loyalty to the company, as long as it doesn't demand a loyalty over God.
That's right.
And the loyalty to the company, because God's going to bless the work of your hands. He blessed Egypt because Joseph was there. Come on. And I'm telling you, as a former business owner and a leader, there's nothing more beautiful. I mean, even Jesus says, if you love me, obey me, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then he says in Ephesians 6, he said, listen, when your boss, or your master, actually what he says, but listen, let's not say master, let's just say boss, he's paying you. She's paying you money to show up. Do your job.
Right.
Show up a little bit early. Don't walk in the door. Don't stand around the time clock waiting to click out. You know, you'll be the first one to go when things get cut back, and they're going to be cut back.
Oh, yes.
You know, but if they see that you're loyal to the concept, you know the vision of the company, if you're going to go for a job interview, don't just show up and say, well, this is what I'm seeking. I'm seeking money and benefits, you know. You know, go up and just say, you know, I love Brett, you know, Brett up in Denver. He asked his employer, he said, what can I do? I know that I'm not going to come on to a certain point, but what do I need to do to be able to be where I need to be the day that I show up? And he's blown away, you know.
Wow.
But that's just a common sense answer. If you're a leader, you know, hey, if I'm going to work here, I want to know the vision of the company.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I want to know who the leaders are. I want to know, you know, our past earnings and how I can actually add to the bottom line. This is what your employer wants. You can either move more widgets, whatever that is, if it's actually helping them sell something or helping them provide a service, or you can help those who are providing a service or moving widgets. Anything else, you really don't belong there. And so think about how you can make that business go further. You know, pray about ideas and divine concepts. Say thank you for what's being done at your workplace. Mm-hmm. Don't feel, even though a worker is worthy of his wages, understand that they're still giving you an opportunity to work there. As Christians, Ephesians 6 tells us exactly, you know, how we should be. That that's why you need to find out where you're going to. In America right now, we can actually choose where we're going to work. So we can't say, well, you know, they demanded disloyalty to me, but it is my job. And that's what America's done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had more loyalty to really the paycheck than the job.
Right.
But we can say this, you know, that once we do a research on the company and we feel comfortable about where the direction of the company's going and we still have a peace in our heart, then we can just say, that's the job that I want and I'm going to go for it. I'm going to be a good employee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my employer is going to know that I'm there, not in his own eyes, but in the eyes of the Lord, are the reason why I'm doing it.
Right.
Because I want this company to prosper.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it's how you get paid. You know, if the company maketh money, you getteth money. If the company doesn't maketh money, you're not going to be there. Even if they really like you. I remember one guy came to my office. Remember, he came to my office. And I'm going to talk about Zipper before you go. We got to finish that conversation about the Zipper, okay?
The Zipper?
But, yeah, the fair ride. And so... He comes to my office and I'm sweating payroll because I'm working on, you know, have net 30 and net 90 when companies pay you. And I finally got this big government contract. It was like net whenever we want to, you know? And so, and that was during an administration, they moved all the payment area to one place in California. It was just like, you call up, and you're going to call up and explain to them why you're not going to get paid or whatever. And they go, you got a voicemail says, we were very busy. Thank you for calling the government dispersing office. We will try to return your call in the next 60 days.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, so obviously if your employer is not getting paid for the work, then you're going to have to hold on. You may even have to hold on for a while and remain loyal because you're loyal, not because just getting paid.
Right.
And I had to wait for the money to come in to be able to make payroll into those different things. And so I'm explaining that to my employees, and one of my employees said, I'm here for the money. That's the only reason I'm here, you know,
because
I was carrying him as a burden on my heart. You know, I wanted to make sure him and his family was taken care of.
Right.
You know, I just had this feeling of loyalty towards those that were loyal to me and the company. And at that one moment, that one statement released me from all the pressures I felt towards him. I didn't feel angry or nothing. I just thought like, oh, thank you so much. You'll be the first one to go.
Yeah.
Not because I wanted to, but I was like, oh, okay. I thought you were here because you cared about the company and the employees and that you wanted to make us successful. And, and in turn, you get, you know, but I see, you know. And he got a transition package eventually and got a chance to prove his worth at another company. But prior to that, I was carrying him on my heart. I wanted to make sure. I mean, if you're a business owner, you know, the last person to get paid quite often is you.
That's right.
You know, and when you do get paid, they complain. But then you have to go back and look. See the last 10 years to get paid. So anyway, we didn't get to finish, John. I guess it's Friday or something. That we were at the fair, and we're walking to the fair, and we decided to get...
Pat, you got to be careful about this.
I can't remember. It was so long ago, you know.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, you remember?
Yeah.
We got on a Zipper ride. All I know is that I just did what John said. Got on the Zipper. And a Zipper is like, it's like a straitjacket made from metal. Yeah, it's like a chair that you're just kind of strapped in, and they close the door, and there's two people in there, you know. So John and I are sitting in there, and it goes up and down. Have you ever seen a Zipper ride? Maybe we could show you a Zipper ride on the blog or something. And John was talking about, you know, be careful, you know, I get sick or something like that, you know. I mean, it's real difficult for me to be in movement and motion and stuff, and I don't have my Dramamine. So I forget what it was. I just didn't think that, you know, that could happen. And so here we are. We're on this ride, and he spins us around. The guy flips us around.
Yeah. So the guy's like, do you want to be flipped? I'm like, no, we just want to enjoy the ride. Flip. Of course, Greg's like, yeah, sir, flip us, spin us around. I'm like, are you kidding me? This thing is going way up, man.
I wanted to get my 25 cents worth. So we're flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping. And I said, isn't this fun? And then I looked over at you. And you were sweat beads are coming down your head. And we're locked in this straitjacket of metal. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is not going to be good. This is not going to be good. It just dawned on me.
Yeah, that's going to do what, bro?
Yeah, like, you're right.
It's about to happen. I'm like, don't you shake this thing. I'm going to eat this stuff.
It dawned on me that you were serious. I think, oh my goodness, he's about to woof his cookie in his straitjacket. And I'm thinking, oh man, of course I quit rocking it. But I'll never forget that look on your face, man. I'm thinking, oh my goodness.
And the rest of the night, remember that?
My goodness, man. I'm thinking,
this could be the moment. This could be the moment.
Oh, I just really believed at that moment when I looked at you, you know, and you were pale face and sweat beads coming down. I'm thinking, it's not going to be good. So I want to encourage you that when you are hearing somebody saying, you know, this could happen or that can happen. I just want to thank God right now. I just want to thank God for retaining all that junk food you eat out there.
Yeah, exactly. Because
we never did see it. It just wrote an invitation and said, I'd like to come out. You said no. And I'm very thankful for that. Man, can you believe that we're coming to the end of the first hour?
Wow. That's fast.
You know, time really flies. We're going to be talking about in the second hour. We're going to talk more about the Declaration of Independence and the national anthem. We're going to talk about that as well. We talked about, you know, Saturday about, you know, having a mosque in your neighborhood and that they would proclaim call to prayer five times a day. And you can see it on the VFN TV blog now. And it's called, you know, do you want a mosque in your neighborhood or your city? And what they're crying out at that mosque, or what they're calling out for prayer five times a day is, you know, denying Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and that Muhammad is the only prophet of God, and that the Quran is the word of God. Mm-hmm. And but we're going to talk about in the second hour, we have time, the extra hour, the Apostles' Creed, because we actually have something that we profess that contradicts that. That's not true. And if we're going to have anything broadcasting over our cities and our neighborhood, it's going to be that. But understand, you got to go to the VFN TV blog or the highlights and see that for yourself. Watch what's taking place in Israel. This is what they wanted to put at Ground Zero. John, remember when we were there at the Freedom Towers and all that? This is what they want to put, to have five times a day. And wouldn't it be all the concrete in the roads. Can you imagine that being blasted out at Ground Zero with those loudspeakers, you know, five times a day?
Tragic.
It would just echo, tragic. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it just echo through all of our financial district? It would echo through.
Place, yeah.
Yeah. And it'll be declaring that Jesus is not Lord.
Wow.
That's what they would be declaring. So it's not a building. It's not a religion that's being said. It's the fact is, do you want that promulgated in the airways? Over your city, five times a day, five times a day. I know we're coming to an end, but let me just try a little quick 5-second little piece here before we start. Listen to this. You can find out more about that on the VFN TV blog. John, it's been great having you here with us today. We're looking forward, hopefully Thursday.
Yes, I'll be on Thursday, Lord willing. I'm excited about being.
Oh, my goodness. We had a wonderful time, and we're going to be talking about the national anthem. We're going to be talking more about the Declaration of Independence, and we have so much to share with you in the extra hour. If you're leaving us now, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And those that are joining us, we will see you in just one moment.